am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Hi, everybody. This is Jan, and I'm back with you on Purpose Talk Radio. It's December 10th, and I'm very excited to be back. I still have a little bit of, you know, that frog that comes to visit and doesn't quite know when to leave. Well, he/she is still visiting. So I may sound a little bit froggy voiced, and that's okay too. We have a very special guest today, Calista, who is going to talk to us about the 12 Days of Love event that she has going. First of all, though, I want to, remind you, I lost my words there for a minute, of our wonderful theme song, which is I Am Who I Am by True Trinity. You can hear the song on TrueTrinity.com, and you can also purchase the song there. True Trinity is a trio made up of Cindy Freeman, who is also our facilitator for the show and does a fabulous job, and she also host for the last couple of weeks while I was so sick. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for Cindy. She's absolutely fantastic. The other parts of the group, members of the group, are Jillian Clark and Rachel Martinez. And we're going to have them on as guests in January, so I hope you'll join us for that as well. But that song is just one of my favorites, Walking in the Moment, Walking in the Spirit, Moment by Moment, Fulfilling Your Own Destiny. What an amazing and wonderful concept, especially at this time in the life, in our lives and in the life of our planet, with this upcoming Mayan calendar ending on 12/21. And the excitement and anticipation of what that actually means. Is the world going to end? What do you think? I don't think so. But, you know, maybe. Who knows? They said the last time there was one of these, there was a polar shift. Well, scientists haven't said anything about that possibility yet. But then again, what do the scientists know? Do they know everything? Maybe not. I doubt it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We're going to be talking more about that a little bit later, so I'll let it go for now. I want to remind you that this show is welcomes donations and also sponsors. If you would like to sponsor a show, you can actually get to name your guest. So contact me about it. You can do it on Facebook. Send me a message, or you can contact me, jan@purposetalkradio.com. And we'll talk more about that. Today, wow, that frog really is in there, huh? Okay, today I have drawn a card, and so has Calista. Let me find her here. Get back to, I went away from the note. There she is. I'm going to bring Calista in, and we'll say hello, and then I'm going to do a card. And Calista has also drawn a card for today, so we will hear from her as well in just a minute. Hi, Calista, how are you?
Hi, John, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing much better, but I'm still got this frog in my throat here that I keep trying to clear out, and it just doesn't want to go away.
Oh, no. Maybe we can do some healing on the show for you tonight.
Yeah, maybe so. So you're in England, which means it is now 8 o'clock in the evening there, right?
It is. I'm in Scotland, though.
Scotland, okay.
In Bonnie, right. Scotland. Yeah.
Bonnie. So Say it again, Scotland.
Yeah, in Dundee in Scotland.
Scotland, okay. I'm trying to learn how to say it right, see. So when I visit, I'll know how to talk properly.
Okay, you're doing fine.
Okay, well, I drew a card today for the show. And by the way, I also ended up with 3 extra cards. So if you have a question or a concern that you would like to have answered on the show, you can either call in or call in via Skype, or you can let Cindy know on our Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group in Facebook. You'll have to ask to join the group, and Cindy will add you to the group. And then you can ask the question and let me know if you want card 1, 2, or 3. But for the show, the card is called Guardian Angel, which I think is quite appropriate, seeing as how Calista and I both deal with angels. The card shows a young girl. And we've had this card before. It's interesting. So it's a young girl, and she is in a kilted dress, or I guess it's not kilted, it's kittle. The belt goes up. What is an empress style? There we go. Empress style dress. And the top is red with white, what appear to be snowflakes. And the bottom, the skirt, is white with large red and white, again, what appear to be snowflakes. She is being held up and supported by an angel. One of the angel's wings is wrapped around her. And the angel's right hand is under the girl's left elbow. When we talk about soul body blueprint and reading the body, the left side of the body is the side they're both on the right side. Okay, good. The angel's right hand is holding up the elbow, the girl's right elbow. So the right side of the body is the side of responsibility, obligation, and duty. It's the analytical and rational and logical side. Left side of the body, and the angel's left wing is wrapped around the girl. The angel's left hand is on the girl's left shoulder, and the girl's arm is hanging by her side. The left side of the body is the intuitive, creative, emotional side. So in this instance, the girl's rational side is being supported by the angel. One of the things that has been becoming really clear lately, particularly at this time when the excitement is so great about 1221, and when there are so many gurus who are around who are saying, follow me, do this, do that, all these shiny objects that are around that we want to jump at, is to pay attention to your rational and logical side. Just because somebody is all gung-ho and enthusiastic, just because they say the right words, just because they have the top of whatever it is that they're promoting, does not mean that they are really the best person for you in your spiritual development. So discernment is vital on your spiritual path. And discernment means using your rational, logical mind to support your intuitive, angelically guided messages and on your path. So there's the message for today. Use your intuition, but make sure that you are also using your rational, logical side, your analytical side, to use discernment in who you are following and what you are doing. And don't just jump at the next shiny thing. Calista?
Yeah, I would definitely go with that as well, because there's so many events out there and there's so many people who are now coming forward and like you say, just saying, you know, come and follow me and my truth is your truth. But really, what people speak about and what they share with others is really just their truth. And we can't really completely embody and follow it. We always have to listen to our source within, to that angelic presence, our own inner guidance system, to flow with life and to get the most out of it, rather than just kind of following the crowd.
Right. So did you draw a card today, Calista?
I did. I drew a card, and it's very apt. The card is attraction, and it says, you attract love by allowing yourself to live fully in the present moment. And it's a beautiful card. The angel is... she's closing her eyes and she's just sniffing the roses in front of her. There's no cares or worries. She's just perfectly in the moment of that beautiful scent, the scent of nature, the scent of the flowers, and it's very blissful to look at. And for me, it rings true for this event that we're going to be talking about today, the 12 Days of Love, and how to just live in each moment. And just appreciate the now, appreciate all the blessings in your life, And in this state of appreciation is when we can completely heal. And I always say healing is really just letting your body let go of resistance. And when you let go in resistance, you come perfectly into the now. You come into that beautiful moment where you can stop what you're doing and just smell the roses, you know, and appreciate life for all the blessings that it's given to you each moment.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And the other card that I drew is very funny because it just popped out the pack after the first one. And it says the words chemistry, and it says there is a strong magnetic attraction here. So for me, that the angels and their humor, and they're just emphasizing attraction, really being careful as we move forward to 12-12-12 and also the 12-21st, to really be careful of our thoughts, especially when we're talking about love, to be aware of that self-chatter that comes often into our mind, and most of the time it's sometimes negative. So really to be aware of our thoughts, because our thoughts, as you know, under the law of attraction, create our reality. So if we're always focusing on that negative self-chatter, then we're going to create the negative influences and actions behind that. And because the energy is so fast, it's almost like a quickening that we're in right now, up until these two energy portals. So the angels have been saying to me lately, really be careful as to who you let into your energy, and really be careful of your thoughts as well. Keep yourself as nice and clear and positive as you can, and that will lead to clear and positive actions and experiences in your life.
Awesome. You know, that is such a huge message right now. Or it's coming so clear to me that being careful, using discernment, is so vitally important at this point in time, because I see people running around. You know, Sedona is a mecca of spiritual, psychic, whatever you want to, anything that has to do with that realm of teachers, of people who are practicing, of seekers who are coming here. And they'll basically follow anybody and spontaneously take some sort of a plant that it's supposed to do this, and then they find out that it's a completely different plant, and they're doing it without proper preparation and without a guide who can take them where they need it, who is a responsible guide.
Sure.
It really is concerning me, and I see it not only here in person, but I see it online, where people are just jumping from one thing to the other because somebody says the right words or has the right trappings, and they're not looking at it more carefully and making sure that it's right for them. And unfortunately, it can lead to some really serious issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that too. And, you know, I deal with a lot of people every day. I get a lot of emails from people who have been saying the same things, really. And they get to this state of confusion where they've actually got to the point where they're not even trusting the guidance that's coming through them, because it's so muddled and mixed with other people's viewpoint as to what's the truth and what's not the truth. And what I always say to them is just to gently detach, if you can, from influences like social networks. I know they have, you know, positive advantages like a sense of community, but sometimes, you know, energy can flow through absolutely everything. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to be in a physical presence. Just by opening up Facebook, for example, you can come across so many different sorts of energies and influences. So it is good to detach now and again, and just to take time to meditate and to listen to your own voice and really to follow that guidance.
Right. I totally agree. Well, Calista, we do have a caller who has been patiently waiting since before the show began. And her name is Patricia. Her name is Patricia, and she has a question. I'm Patricia online now. Hi, Patricia. Okay. This is Jan.
Hi.
How are you
Thank
today?
Thank you for... I'm doing really good, actually.
Where are you calling from?
Well, I would like to remain anonymous, if that's okay, due to the nature of the call.
That's fine.
Thank you. So, I appreciate it.
and Callista was trying to say hello, and I jumped on her comment. So go, Callista.
Hello, Patricia. How are you?
Hi, Callista. Thank you for being on the show today and answering my question. And the reason why I tuned in is because I saw the headline on the computer about love. And this, to me, is a pressing issue with me with a sister of mine. And when you talk about different energies, you know, how we have to be discerning. About a year ago, well, practically all my life, I've been kind of badgered and attacked by her. And I'm thinking it could be a past life situation, but I get attacked and underhanded, you know, just spoken about in the background, you know. And so I'm just wondering, you know, if you have any advice for me or card reading for me or something that can help me understand, you know, why this is happening, because I have tried my best to stay out of her energy.
Patricia, do you still physically talk to her, or do you find yourself just retreating away from her presence?
Oh, over the years I've stayed away from her, but it seems like she uses anything to negatively talk about. If I go around her, she criticizes. If I stay away from her, then she complains that I'm starting to stay away from the family. And it's all back, you know, bad-mouthing, okay, no matter what I do.
Okay. You know what, Patricia? I completely empathize and understand your situation, because right at this particular moment, and I don't think she'll be listening, me and my sister are not actually getting on, and I'll share my experience to see if it perhaps can help you, and then we'll go from there. When we were both younger, we were very intuitive, and she was very aware and sensitive, just as I was. But as we grew up, as I got more into this field and more about coaching people and helping them to move through issues and challenges, she became more of the academic, and we started to transcend from each other and to move into different spectrums of being. She would follow the logical side of life, and I would follow the intuitive side of life. And no matter what I do or what I did in the past, it didn't really seem to resonate with her. And that was fine, but I understand where you are, because for many years it really got to me, and I can feel your energy right now. I can feel that you're hurt by this, and there's, you know, there's pain there and there's confusion, and I completely resonate because I was there myself. But what helped me, and what may help you, Patricia, is just taking the time to sit back from the situation and try and look at it from new eyes. Instead of identifying that there's an issue here and a problem through looking at different experiences and situations where she's not been herself and she's not been, you know, loving towards you, try and see herself, see your sister as a different individual. Try and understand her. Where is she coming from? Because sometimes we can be so caught up in a situation and we get so caught up in the whys. Why is she doing this? And we start to feel like a victim and we start to blame. And I really think it would help if you could just take yourself out of the situation and try and see things from her point of view. You don't have to condone her behavior, not at all, but just try and see it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. And this is Jan. I'd like to jump in on this too, because Patricia, you are not, absolutely not alone in this kind of a situation. I'm probably older than both of you, and I've had the same, well, I discovered that my mother and my brother were the biggest teachers for me of letting go than any other group of people could be. I was criticized, you know, bad-mouthed, the whole thing. And it took a long time for me to be able to let go. And what I mean by letting go is, you know, we talk about the word forgive, and I have no idea what the word forgive means. So it's one of those words that we use kind of like okay, what the heck does that mean? But for me, it became letting go of the emotional attachment to the situation, to the person in the situation. My mother was very critical of me. My brother was very critical of me. My brother disowned me for a while, then tried to become friends again, and then disowned me yet again. So, so like Calista, I'm on the spiritual path, and I have been disowned by my family because it was too woo-woo for them. But
yeah.
It still was a situation where I needed to let go of the resentment that was in me. I couldn't do anything about them. The only thing I could do something about was my feelings. And there was a I'm going to digress here for just a sec, because there was another situation with a coworker who decided that I was to be the scapegoat. I had called her on a matter of courtesy, and so therefore I was going to be bad-mouthed forever for that. So I tried to figure out what to do to heal the resentment and the hurt within myself. You may or may not be able to do this with your sister, but what I did was made her my secret pal. So when I went to the store, I happened to see this beautiful blue, cobalt blue vase with a flower in it, and that's when it hit me what I could do. And so I bought it, I took it to the hospital, and gave it to the volunteers to deliver to her, and it was from her secret pal. And I did other things for her that were when I knew that she was sick or just thinking about you or a birthday or whatever, sent her cards. Because when you have a secret pal, you truly do wish the best for them. So your whole energy changes around it. And I discovered for myself that I was healed when I went to the hospital and this woman turned in a rage at me, and I had everything I could do to keep from laughing, because my thought was, you don't have any idea who you're talking to. And then I realized that for me, all of the resentment, all of the hurt, all of the emotional stuff was gone. It had been totally neutralized by simply changing my whole feelings about it and making her my secret pal. Like I said, you might not be able to do that with your sister, but if there's some way that you can change that energy so that you're dealing with healing yourself and you're letting go of the emotional attachment, because it's the emotional attachment to the situation that really is the key factor. That's what karma is all about. So if you continue to have a feeling like of what your sister is doing, and something happens to your sister, you'll end up in another situation with somebody who's doing the same thing. Because the situation, your emotional attachment to that situation still exists. So the critical thing is going to be to change your emotional attachment to the emotions, to the situation, to being the victim, to the whole thing that's going on. It's a good thing to look at, like Calista said, look at your sister as a stranger, and see if you can come up with some story, in a way, even if you have to make it up, about why, what is she coming from, a place of fear? What is it that it could be a past life situation? And you can find out about visualizations and working with somebody to even a hypnotic situation. But the critical thing is going to be to change your attitude to something that is releasing the resentment and the hurt.
Yeah, and I think what you did, I think, is a beautiful act. Honestly, it would not work for me in this situation. I see where it could work for me in another situation, but I think me talking about it is helping me to release also, because the universe hears.
Right.
And the more I hear talk about it, and the more good I do around it, I think is helping my karma. So yeah, I appreciate your feedback. It's helpful, and it's helpful to me to speak to somebody, because it's releasing,
Patricia,
you know, a lot of the emotion. Yes,
Patricia, can I also add something just before you go?
Absolutely.
Just about forgiveness there, because any act of forgiveness really is just forgiveness to yourself. And I think that's what needs to happen here. I think Jan's perfectly dead on, because when we forgive, we let go of the emotional attachment, because we can't have that beautiful sense of compassion to another being when we still have the emotional attachment, the negative attachments to them. So becoming in a state of forgiveness with your sister can help. But also, if we're talking about compassion, which is another angelic virtue, which feels, you know, I feel guided to speak about, compassion is when you can see another individual and their lessons, their contrast, their divine purpose, why they came into this life, and see it without non-judgment. So for instance, my sister is coming into this life and she's chosen a life which is quite judgmental, very academic, but that's just her way of being. And for years I battled against that till the point where I understood that it really wasn't me that she had the issue with. It was really just herself. She mm-hmm. was in resistance to her own path. She wasn't just allowing her path to, you know, to flow. So then I released myself being her scapegoat. I gave myself that power, and you can give yourself that power too by just allowing yourself to just let go of that emotional attachment. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's not an overnight thing. But what can help is by just giving yourself, I would say, healing into the past, like we've been doing off the 12 Days of Love. It's a really remarkable thing when we go back to different experiences, particularly those that have been challenging between loved ones, and just give love to our younger self, whatever our younger self needs at that time, if it's compassion, if it's forgiveness, if it's just allowing ourselves just to let go of the attachments of other people, then we create that space. So I would suggest you perhaps do that too. And, you know, before I end as well, the angels that I say for you to work with would be Archangel Shamuel here and his blessed twin flame, Archangel Charity, which really helps you to forgive. And even sitting down and writing a letter to your sister, but perhaps not even giving it to her, and just, you know, using communication like we've been, like we're doing here, it's very cathartic. And just tell your sister all the things that you want to say to her, and don't be too concerned if they're negative. Just get them out your system. This can be very, very powerful to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
And Patricia, also, I don't know if you're part of the group on Facebook, but it's a conversations group, but I would highly recommend that you join us, because there are conversations that go on there about the show, and there are people there who might have some other insights for you. So if you go to Facebook, and then do a search for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Group, and then request to join, and Cindy will add you in, and you'll be part of that ongoing conversation.
Oh, great. Calista, well, thank you.
And Calista is going to be spelling out the names of those angels for us as well in that group, but maybe she'll do it now before we have to end this conversation. So, Calista, would you spell the names of your angels, please, that you recommended?
Absolutely. Patricia, do you have a pen?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, the first angel is Archangel Shamuel, and that's spelled C-H-A-M-U-E-L.
Okay, yes, I've heard of that angel. Yes, absolutely.
And Shamuel's twin flame, or other half, is the feminine aspect, and she's called Charity.
Charity is in faith, love, and charity?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And if you want more information on these angels, Patricia, stop by my angel healing page, because that's a big community as well, and, you know, we are there to help as well if we can.
Well, excellent. Thank you.
I appreciate
talking with you. It's been wonderful. Thank you. And love and light. You know, I'm on that path, and I'm going to continue on.
Great.
So,
and I hope.
Thank you for all
listening.
The love.
And thanks for calling in, Patricia.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too. Okay. So let's talk about, let me make sure I covered all of the housekeeping stuff. Looks like I did. So let's talk about Calista. Calista and the 12 Days of Love, your event, the 12 Days of Love. So, Calista, tell us a little about the event and tell us how you were drawn to create this event, please.
Okay. The 12 Days of Love has been an event that's been running from the 1st of December and will continue to run all the way up to the 12th of this month. And it is a self-healing angelic global event. And at the moment, we have, I think, nearly 1,000 beautiful souls all over the world doing the clips every day, the self-healing clips that I post on my YouTube, where I guide people through giving healing to their past timeline, all the way from conception through to birth, all the way up to the present year of where they are right now. And this event came forward through my angels, through my own angelic presence, to help people to really transcend the past, because so many of us, I think, are in some way still experiencing our past cycles, or we're still attached to belief systems that don't serve us, or perhaps we're still living in fear of really expressing who we truly are based on the beliefs and limitations of our parents, or perhaps through experiences of our past. So the 12 Days of Love really is just about giving people the space through the guidance of the angels to allow love to come back to every part of their younger self. And you know, we can appreciate now as we're going forward that time isn't linear. So it doesn't really happen from past, present and future. The only present moment that we have is the right now reality. So when we go back to give love to our younger aspect, we're really giving love to our present now reality. And I find this happening when I sit in meditation and I send healing back to my timeline. The repercussions and the ripples of that healing affect my now, and they've been affecting a lot of people positively all over the world. I've been receiving comments every day from people, and hopefully some will call in today.
So can you that's a good point. I want to ask you this, but I also want to remind everybody that we have, if you have a question or a concern you want to call in with and talk to Calista, or have me do one of the cards, please do that. You can also post that on the Facebook group, Conversations Facebook group, and Cindy will give us the message. I have three cards, so if you do want to have a card, you have to tell me which one. But Calista, can you give us some sort of an example of how this working with your timeline has impacted your now?
Sure. You know what? There's so many wonderful experiences, but the one I would like to share today is one that I know has affected me the greatest. And it was actually in this event that the inspiration, almost like a flash of light, came to me to do this event. And I was sitting giving myself healing in the bath, and I always find that the bath is the best time to just escape and just relax. So I was sitting there giving myself healing, and as part of the book that I'm writing, Journey to Ascension, I was writing the section all about timeline healing and all about giving space and love and light to your past. So in an effort to walk my talk, because I believe in being an authentic teacher, I sat down and I gave myself some healing from conception to birth. So I just focused on that one timeline for this particular session. And you wouldn't think that as a fetus that you would have the awareness, but as I was sending energy back to my younger self, I felt myself in my mum's womb. I felt the warmth. I felt protected. I felt supported. And I could also pick up in the feelings of my mother and the feelings of my father at the time. It was very, very profound for me. And I could feel that my mum was going through a lot of shifts, a lot of relationship problems with my father at the time. And there was one particular incident that happened round about, I think, 6 months into the pregnancy, where he was quite violent to my mum. And as my younger self, I could feel that, not only the physical act of violence, but I could also feel the guilt. My younger self was taking on the guilt because in some way I thought that I created this.
Wow.
So it was very profound. And then I found myself then, as I was being born, I could experience what it was like to be born, and I was sending my mum healing, and I was so proud of her because at that stage she had left my father and she kind of resolved her broken heart, if you like, after they split up. Anyway, to cut a long story short, after this session, and it was in that moment, by the way, that I got the words from the angel of 12 Days of Love. So that's when they gave me the event title. But a few weeks after that event, I actually met my physical father. And I've only met him a few times in this life, and we've never really seen eye to eye because I've been holding on to that aspect in some way on a conscious level, but a lot of the energies was at a subconscious level, and they were released during this healing. And I sat down with my father, and we held each other's hand, and we looked at each other, and we talked for the first time. We properly talked, and in that moment, we shared this beautiful sense of forgiveness. And I had complete respect for him, and for the first time in my life, and I understood why he did the things he did, and I completely let go of the emotion of it. I completely detached myself from the pain and the guilt, and I realized that because of that particular session and particular incident in my past, I had created relationships with men based on my perception that men were always going to beat me down, or they were always going to dominate me. Mm-hmm. And I found myself able to kind of clear that perception and to welcome new relationships and friendships, particularly with men as well, in my life, just from that one event. So that's just one example of how it's changed
that's
me.
That's awesome. That's really amazing.
And so, you know, sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, I've been receiving emails from people who they've done the first couple of days of the 12 Days of Love, and it's been remarkable. Some of them have been able to release issues of violence as well, or traumatic experiences when they're younger, and they're really feeling this new lust for life, and it's remarkable. It's only in the first few sessions, the first few days, that they're feeling this freedom and this new awareness and lightness of being.
So how would you say that working with the conception to birth, how would it relate to working with your base root chakra, or would it?
I think it's subjective. I think it would in many ways. For me, I always see the base chakra as your center of security and also your connection to your divine mother. So I guess for me, in essence, I was healing my perceptions of my mother. And I believe that your physical parents that you manifest, that you choose before coming into this life, are a direct representation of your connection to your divine mother, which is the earth, and your divine father, the universe. So for me, I guess there was a strong correlation because as I gave myself healing, I gave my mother healing, but really I strengthened that connection between me and Mother Earth. So it was very profound.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, today is the 10th. So that means that we're coming kind of close to the end of your 12 Days of Love event. So what about people who are just hearing about the event now? Can they join in?
They can, and every day we've got more and more people who are adding themselves. And in fact, there's a few people who have done every day, and they're going to repeat the session. And they've asked me, can they do this? And my answer is yes. If they feel guided to, by all means, go for that. And I'm going to leave the YouTube clips up, and they're all free to do on my Callista Ascension page on Facebook, but also on my YouTube. So they can be done at any time. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. And do you have some advice for our listeners on how to help them to connect more to love?
I do. I think the best way for us all to connect with love is to really to start to become aware of our thoughts. Now, I'm getting drawn back to our card, which was all about attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many of us have that self-talk where we're not really being nice to ourselves. There is no self-loving going on. And I think if we're all honest, perhaps we'll have thoughts during the day that are quite negative, mm-hmm. that perhaps criticize, or perhaps we judge ourselves based on others, based on their actions. So what I would say is a good tip to start to bring in that self-love is to really watch your thoughts and make sure that the thoughts that you have are encouraging and that they each day are just helping you to release more and more resistance. And I sometimes think it's quite nice as well to make a list of things that you love about yourself, and even to do this every day before you go to sleep, just saying to yourself, what do you feel went good today? And praising that, praising yourself for everything that you achieved, even if it's just, today I went for a walk and I was in the moment, I enjoyed the fresh air and I enjoyed nature, and you know what, it feels so good to give that to me because I deserve that. I deserve that walk. I deserve that connection with nature. And always to remember not to compare yourself to others as well. Again, going back to your card about just remembering to listen to your own voice, to listen to the true nature of your being, which at the end of the day is always love, because love is our true nature. It's just sometimes in the doing of life, we get so caught up in the past or so caught up in the future and expectations and judgments that we kind of forget that we are divine beings made of pure love.
I'm sitting here nodding my head. Yes, yes, yes.
You know what, Jan? I mean, there's so many different ways. And I think we'll all find unique ways to give ourselves self-love. You know, even if it's just doing something every day that makes your heart sing. Mm-hmm. For me, I always make sure that I do exercise every day because I know that I feel good with exercise and it allows me to process all the energies that are kind of coming through me and coming to the earth every day. And it also gives me a sense of feeling good about myself. You know, it gets all those good endorphins going. And for me, that's self-love. But for other people, it might be treating themselves to a massage, drawing themselves a bath at the end of the day, just relaxing with some good food, good company, and always knowing at the end of every experience that they deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's so important.
I have two things I'd like to say to that. One is to our listeners to remember that when you get impatient or when you get angry or when you have a negative or critical or judgment thought, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay.
It is okay.
It's not that when you focus on trying to be all good, that's just as unbalanced as somebody focusing on being all bad. So recognizing that we have negative thoughts, that we have these judgmental times, and accepting that, okay, well, I don't like that about myself, but there it is. I know that's part of who I am, so I will accept it and I will give love to that part, which then can transform it.
Absolutely. I think that's really good advice. And people who write to me with comments on the 12 Days of Love, they may say a particular session was difficult for them, or all these emotions are coming up and what can they do to get rid of them? And, you know, my advice is always sit in that emotion. I completely agree. Sometimes we put such a brave face, and then the more that we think that we're happy, but inside our soul is saying, no, 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 I'm not happy, then the bigger the separation of who we truly are and this mask becomes. So I always say, just sit in your emotions, just let them be without questioning them, or without identifying or judging them, just being aware that they're there. And awareness is really the first step to self-love, because when we become aware of our thoughts and emotions and just let them be, because sometimes emotions are coming up to be released, particularly when we do timeline healing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I would say it's subjective. If there's an individual who is having a lot of self-criticizing, judgmental thoughts, then I think it would be really good for them to sit down and really ask themselves, why? Where did this come from in the first place? Is there a root cause to this? Or what aspect of their life are they comparing to others? Because normally it always comes down to comparing yourself to others. Do you not think so? In the end of the day, we are perfect beings, but we always view ourselves as being imperfect beings because we look to others.
Right. One of the things that I have found over the past, 15, 20 years, is there was a time when I was depressed all the time. Not seriously, not enough to need treatment, but just I would wake up depressed. I kind of go through the day depressed. And I had a friend who was even more depressed than I was. But our conversation was, at the time, my view was everybody is depressed. It's simply what you do with it. It's how you respond to it. And so one of the practices that I created for myself was, what do you need, Jan, what do you need to accomplish today in so that tonight you will feel good about your day?
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily good about yourself, but good about what you accomplished today. And it could be something very simple. It could be doing a laundry. I mean, it could be anything really simple, depending on how bad that day was. Today, obviously, I have a lot more things that I accomplished during the day and feel good about in the evening. But, you know, even recently when I was so sick, and as I was starting to come back to health, one of my practices was, okay, what do I need to accomplish today? Mm-hmm. So that by the time I go to bed tonight, I will feel like I have done something,
mm-hmm.
something good. And that is, you know, even though that's an action rather than a being, it still helped me to be grateful for mm-hmm. the fact that I was able to do that and to be, to have that gratitude towards myself, to bring myself into love because I did something and it made me feel like I had accomplished something. So sometimes there's these really basic, practical steps that we can take as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not one to exercise. So I'll find another way to accomplish loving myself.
That's good. I mean, no matter what, if it's an action step, if it's just a surrender step, mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter. If it's getting you to that neutral or that happy zone, then that's really all that matters. And for me, you know, that was another inspiring aim for the 12 Days of Love and, well, really for everything that I do, because I've suffered from depression before. And in fact, I was diagnosed with manic depression a few years ago, but I don't choose to buy into that. You know, I don't choose to believe that. Just because someone else says that, it doesn't mean that that's the way it is. And, you know, if you look at statistics, I think it's round about 1 in 3 people feel depressed. And for me, depression is when we're living in the past. And in some way, there's some sort of past cycle or past limiting belief that we're still bringing into our life that's making us feel depressed or making us feel stuck or enclosed or, you know, blocked in some ways. And I think what you shared there about gratitude is one of those leverage steps that gets us out of feeling depressed. Because even if we can reach for just anything to feel grateful for when we're in a state of depression, even if it's just, you know what, I don't want to do anything today, but I am grateful that I can just take a rest.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just surrender into not doing anything. Because sometimes it's not about all the achieving. It's also about just the letting go and feeling that we don't have to always accomplish to feel good about ourselves. Sometimes,
right.
You know, especially in moments of illness, I often think that's our body's way of just saying, slow down. You just need a big rest.
Whether you want it or not.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
A friend of mine is sick. She was going to phone in actually tonight, and I said to her, "You may have done this already, but have you sat down and asked yourself what this illness is trying to teach you, or what are you resisting? Because I always find that our body's natural way of being is health, is vitality, but sometimes we forget to ask." And it's a very intelligent energy. Every part of us is intelligent. Sometimes we forget to ask our body, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me here? Why am I in a state of disease? And giving that aspect of us a voice can be really, really beneficial.
Right. You know, I had a friend who, I'm going to continue this depression thing here for just a second. I had a friend who quit smoking. And she had been smoking since she was like 12 or 13 years old. The result of this, of quitting smoking, was not being able to, or was facing a whole bunch of other emotional things that she was not really capable of facing on her own. And she went into almost a suicidal depression as a result of it. Why she didn't start smoking again, I have no idea, but this is many years later, and she's still a non-smoker. So she went to a therapist. And I remember this one thing that the therapist said to her was a trick to keep in your back pocket, really, was to find every single day, find one thing that you absolutely notice. It could be a color. It could be a texture. It could be just anything that you absolutely noticed that day. You know, again, while I was sick, I couldn't notice anything but infection. It was just all this ugly blur. But as I started to come out of that, there was one day then I said, wow, I can see the colors outside my window. They're clear and they're sharp. So for me, that was a huge step to come out of that darkness and to mm-hmm. be able to see that one thing. I could see the colors. And throughout my whole recuperation time, that was one of the biggest things, is I can see the colors. I can see the contrast. I can see the leaves on the trees. It just really made a difference for me. I remember for my friend, she one day saw a color, and it wasn't even a flower. It was just something, a piece of material or something, and the color came through to her. And that was the one thing that she could write down at the end of the day, I'm grateful because I saw a color.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, yeah.
So it can be very, very simple, but when you start getting into that down state of remembering that, try and find one thing that you notice during the course of the day and write it down that night mm-hmm. as a gratitude. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, sorry, Jan, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I just wanted to add, and every time that we're grateful, we're creating an energy that brings us back to our center, that brings us back to love, or our higher self, source, whatever you like to call it. But for me, it's just love. So
right.
If we're in a state of gratitude, we can't also in that moment be in a state of resistance or a state of depression, because
mm-hmm.
the energy of gratitude is much, much higher. It's vibrant. It's alive. Whereas depression is, well, you know, just the word depression, it fills you with a kind of grey cloud, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I think that's wonderful. Yeah, definitely. Writing gratitude and or just expressing it. And, you know, sometimes I say to myself before the end of the night, in fact, I do this most nights, I will say, I am so grateful for today. I'm so grateful for this, that, and the other. And I'll say the experiences. And then I'll say to myself, and you know what? Tomorrow is going to be a better day. Tomorrow mm-hmm. is going to have more opportunity, and there'll be more things I'll be grateful for. And every day, it just gets better and better. So I think that's good to do that too.
Okay, so now I want to ask you another question that is leading from that. Is I'd like to hear, you work with angels, so I'd like to hear how you started working with angels. But then I would also like to hear how working with angels, let me see, for our listeners, to say how you can start working with angels and how that can help you to come to a place of love.
Okay.
Or is it love that brings you to the angels? I've just thrown out the next hour's conversation for you.
That's great. I could chat about angels forever. How did I get started? I think consciously I only really got started when I reawoke to my spiritual path, which was round about the age of 25. But if I think about it, if I remember, I was around about 6 years old, and at the time I was staying at my grandmother's house because my mum worked quite a lot, so it was really my gran that raised me. And my gran had this very old house that was filled with spirits. And we all knew that they were filled with spirits. But at the time, I was just very sensitive and very aware of energies around me. And I always remember that there was this one particular moment, 6 years old, I was just about to go to sleep in one of her bottom bedrooms, and my dog Scruffy was nestled right between my beside my legs, and just about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden I felt this heavy presence around me, and it didn't feel nice whatsoever, especially not to a 6 year old, which, you know, as a little girl you can tend to get quite scared. Right. And I remember just thinking to myself, I wish I was protected. I wish there was something here that could protect me. And all of a sudden, I saw and I felt this beautiful, translucent, golden orb wrap around me. And it made me laugh because it also wrapped around my dog. So it was enclosing him as well. And it was this beautiful moment of peace I could feel afterwards. And I just thought to myself, that's an angel. That must be my angel coming to protect me. And most of my family were spiritualist mediums or healers, although my mum didn't really talk about it that much. And I remember sharing that experience with her, and she just smiled, and it was like an all-knowing smile. And I just knew that confirmed it for me, that was one of my guardian angels protecting me. But as I grew up, I kind of steered away from spirituality, from working with the angels, just after some experiences of my childhood where I kind of shut down that side, that sensitive side. And it really wasn't until I was around about 25 that I started to feel energies around me. And the more I focused on these energies, the more my life started to shift. And I went from working as a biochemist, I was engaged, I was living in a nice house, and everything was going okay. But the more I focused on these energies, and really at the end of the day, it was really just listening to my inner voice, my inner guidance, I knew that I wasn't happy. I knew that I wasn't fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I sat in meditation, and I started doing healing on myself, which was the polar opposite to producing pharmaceuticals, which I did.
Yeah.
And I realized that I needed to leave science, and I left that relationship, I left that home, and just through sheer faith that the angels were around me, that they were guiding me, I started my business, which at the time was doing holistic therapies, complementary therapies. And I didn't have many friends at the time because they were all scientists at this point, so there was no spiritual people around. And I was a little bit lost, so I sat in meditation, and in meditation I was greeted by this beautiful, huge angel who named himself Raphael. And Raphael, the angel of healing, then became my teacher from that moment, and that was round about 2006. So from there, I've just been working directly with the angels. And Raphael told me that I would one day develop a system that would help people to connect to their angels and to help them bring healing to their self and to others. And that system I now teach around the world, and it's called Angel Healing.
So what is that all about?
Angel Healing is it's an ascension course. So it's a healing course that people can teach, or they can offer healing to people, just like Reiki, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, it's a personal development program. So the students and the therapists who come to learn the system, they've all had positive changes in their lives. They've all had the transformations that perhaps they've been seeking for many years, and they felt they didn't have the faith or the courage or the strength to make those changes. The course helps them to do that by connecting them to their own angelic presence, which we all have, but also the collective array of the angels. And specifically, we work with the archangels and their feminine aspects, the archaea. So, like their twin flames.
Mm-hmm. So, what is a simple way for someone to start connecting with their angels? Talk about listening to your inner voice and your intuition, which is something that I've also held as very true. But what's your take on, or your advice to people who want to connect with angels?
Okay. I would say, on a practical level, there's many communities out there that can help them to make the first steps, including the Angel Healing Facebook page and the system page. But in terms of what they can do on their own, I would suggest that they just take themselves somewhere. Now, this can be physical surroundings, like a favourite place that they would like to visit in nature, or maybe just to sit and close their eyes and just to breathe, to get into a state of meditation. And meditation doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to sit in a certain way. All it is really just breathing and getting into that still point within. And what I would say for them to do is just to start to focus on their breath and just relax, and then invite in the presence of their guardian angels. Now, everybody on earth at this time has at least two guardian angels, if not more than that. And these angels will sit on the left and the right side of that person. So when they're meditating, when they're in nature, or they go within, perhaps creating a scene like a beach, something like that in their awareness, somewhere where they feel completely comfortable, and they ask their guardian angels to come in. I would say for them to ask their guardian angels to perhaps touch them in a certain place, like their shoulder, or just to make themselves known in a way that's perfect for them. And they might see a flash of light, a colour, or even just a sense that someone is there with them, a sense of peace around them. And after the first moment of connection, they can then ask their angels to help them in their daily life, perhaps even asking for a sign. And common signs, as many of the listeners probably know, are white feathers or penny coins or even rainbows or something a unique sign just for you that no one else would know. And that when you receive that sign, you know in that moment that your angel brought that in for you. And when a person experiences an encounter with an angel, it starts the process of faith. And the more encounters they have, the greater the faith that they have that their angels are always with them as they are. So that's what I would say as the first step to do.
I find that the angels have a great sense of humor. And often a message that I will get will be the words of a song or a conversation that I just happen to hear as I walk by. And one of my favorites is the writing on the back of somebody's T-shirt as I'm standing in the grocery line.
Yes.
And every time something like that happens, I just burst out laughing because the answer is so clearly one that is coming from my angels. So that's a lot of fun. I enjoy that. I think sometimes we get too serious about all of this. And
we really do.
I think that's also part of what's going on today, is that these self-proclaimed gurus are very serious. They take themselves quite seriously. And they also, if you challenge them or you bring humor, they get very upset. And I think that's one way to be able to look at somebody and say, wow, maybe this is not exactly the guide or teacher that I should have. If they can't have a sense of humor and they can't be challenged, without taking offense, then there's a real issue going on.
Absolutely. You know, I was sitting writing the teacher's manual today for the system, and because I'm about to start teaching teachers of angel healing, rather aptly, we're starting that on the 12-12-12. And they were saying today, particularly Archangel Zadkiel and his twin flame, Holy Amethyst. Zadkiel, for me, is like a big brother, and he always has so much humor, and he always says to me to take things lightly, to be light with yourself. It's, you know, he deals with transformation and purification, which sometimes can be so heavy and so dark for people, but he does it with such humor and light. And, you know, for me, he always reminds me that when you're in a state of joy, when you're in a state of laughter, you know, when you're just laughing, you're so perfectly in the present moment. You're not aware of anything else. You're just in that moment of bliss, that moment of laughter,
right,
or that moment of joy. And really, that is your connection to Source. That's your connection to the angels right there.
Mm-hmm.
When you're living in your bliss. So whatever that means for you, if that means reading a comic book or watching a movie, comedy movie, or just having some fun with your friends, if you can get up and you can dance and be joyful, that is one of the best ways for raising your vibration to then match the vibration of the angels. Absolutely.
Right. I remember we're going to have to close down the show fairly soon, but I wanted to tell a little story, and I also want to invite our listeners, if you have a question or a concern that you would like to call in, or let Cindy know, and she will message us for Callista or for myself. I've got the three cards that you could draw a card if you want. Just throwing that out there for you again. And I'm going to tell this story, and then we're going to go back to Callista and find out all of her contact information. So my story is about trying to figure out what my passion was. And I started working with women, and particularly women who were in a state of poverty, and realizing that finding that the helping women get out of that state of poverty and helping them learn to create some sort of a business for themselves so that they could support themselves. So this was something that was a passion, and yet there wasn't really a lot of joy in the passion. And then, I don't know if you've ever heard of, there's an email that was going around that was an invitation to host five archangels for 5 days. So I decided, whether it was true or not was almost irrelevant, I decided that the intent was there and it was good, I would do this. So I hosted these five archangels in my space, and the energetic change from the time they arrived and the time that they left was really palpable. So one day while they were there, I sat on the end of my bed and I just kind of was listening, there were three in particular who stood in front of me, you know, tall, wings, the whole bit, stood in front of me and said, you're going to start doing angel readings. And I said, you're out of your mind. No way. There's so many people doing angel readings, and I'm not one to do angel readings. They said, you're going to start doing angel readings. And I said, no, what is this all about? And finally, we argued for a while, or I argued, and they just continued to say the same thing. And finally, they said, you will do angel readings because that is your purpose. And I sat there for a minute, and I thought about it, and I looked up, and I said, are you sure? So even then, I continued to argue. And they, you know, again, because that's your purpose. And I said, all right, well, I'll make a deal with you. I will do some, I'll do some angel readings. I'll put it out there on a Facebook group, local group, and I'll do some readings to verify that this is imagination or fantasy, you know, that I'm not just talking crap, because if that's what it is, then I don't want any part of it. And if it's real, then okay, I'll do this. So I put it out there to do angel readings, and I had a whole bunch of people who said, me. So we did the angel readings in exchange for honest feedback. Was this real or was it just a fantasy? And 100% of the people said, this is real, keep doing it. So then I started saying to people, I'd tell them the story, and I'd say, so I'm really still pretty skeptical about this whole thing, but, you know, here's the reading. And they would be stunned by what I was saying. And I would be going, I don't get this. I don't understand this. This is just, I don't even know where these words are coming from or these concepts are coming from, but I'm supposed to do it, so I'll do it. I feel like an idiot, but I'll do it. And then the people would say, oh my God, that is so right on, or, you know, they'd give me positive feedback. So it took quite a while before I finally gave in and was less skeptical about the whole thing. Well, then I had to look at where this all came from and go back, and I realized that when I was 4 and a half, my father died. And he would come to visit me at night. And we would walk in this beautiful sunlit field. It was an old falling down shack, I remember, by the side. And he would be coming towards me, and I would run and throw myself into his arms. We would laugh. He'd twirl me around and set me down, and we would walk and talk for the rest of the night. And I've told people since that I think that's where my love of conversation came from. But that's also where the joy came from. And it was my first experience in speaking with somebody who was no longer in physical form. I told my mother about it the next day, and she told me, it's just disturbing. But she was going through her own trauma around his death at the time. And so I never told her about the other times, and they went on until I was about 13 years old. They weren't really often, but it was enough so that I knew my father loved me. I never had the sense of abandonment or desertion that a lot of people have when a parent dies, because my father came to visit me, and we'd walk and talk all night long and laugh and have this wonderful time. So I realized that my connection with angels went back to the joyfulness of being with my father in a spirit form, and I've been able to bring that forward. So even though my passion for helping women to create an abundance in their life is still a passion, it doesn't have the joy that working with angels has, which is just an overwhelming joy. So there's my story. And we do have, before we ask Calista for her information, we have a very long question. So I'm going to read it and we'll see what we get, okay? This is from Saul Funbell, who says, my question is related to my past relationship with another person that is on a spiritual path. Our relationship was very deep and full of quote-unquote paranormal experiences. We both speak, lots of quotes here, we both speak in tongues, and we write or draw multidimensional light language texts and symbols, also seeing auras and can feel energies. We remember some past lives together in Atlantis, the Pleiades, I never say that right, and Sirius. We realize that this is some form of twin flame relationship. Karmic bonds and locks prevented us to continue together, and we broke 2 months ago. Since then, we cannot be in any communication because of ego drama that came out of all of it. Now, 2 months later, we have been in communication because of higher guidance, and we both seem to understand that there's something we must do together as a quote-unquote mission. She has found another man in her life, but she still misses me. This is inner knowing that we have meant to be together, but there's still much work to do within ourselves. How do I clear out this past life karma that we might get back together? Is there some angel that is particularly focused on these matters? And Calista, I want you to talk to this, but real quick first, I want to say one thing. I've been in a situation, actually a couple of them, where there were soulmates that I knew that we had been lovers in past lives together. And through a wonderful dream one night with one of these people, I was informed that we have been lovers in the past. Yes, our lives have connected many, many lifetimes, but in this lifetime, we have each chosen different partners. And that allowed me to love this man and to feel the expression of the love without having to take any action on it. I didn't have to be together with the person. I didn't have to be his lover or have him as a lover. It was okay for us to be together, for me to fully express my love for him without taking any sort of action, but being able to be together in each other's company comfortably and knowing that, yes, we'll be together another time, but in this life, we've chosen different partners. Callista?
Okay. Thanks, Jan, and thanks to Saul for writing in with that question. I can really empathize again with this, just as I did with Patricia. It's obviously that beautiful mirror that the universe creates. because Saul, I have been there. I'm exactly in the same position, apart from the roles are reversed. So I was with my twin flame for nearly 2 years, but before he came physically into my life, he visited me in spirit form. And he visited me many times, and his higher self, my higher self, told me that there was many issues that I had to work on and he had to work on before we could physically come together. And 2 years of not being together physically, I spent doing work on myself as he did. And then we physically got together, and it was actually Archangel Michael, in his humour, who told me that I would meet my other half in a workshop that I was taking. And the workshop, lo and behold, was actually an Archangel Michael workshop. So I have to laugh. Anyway, so I met my twin flame, and we had the most beautiful relationship for nearly 2 years. And we had our issues, because what happens when twin flames get together, normally it's their last life, their last physical life together on the earth plane, that is. So therefore, they come together, yes, for their own growth and expansion, but really to create what's called divine love, where they use their combined energy and they become a unified light, if you like, and they have what they feel is a mission to accomplish, but a mission to complete together. So for a long time, myself and my partner knew that we had a mission, just like you're seeing Saul, to play out and to do. Now, a few months ago, myself and my partner actually broke up, and he is now living on the other side of the world doing what he needs to do, and I'm in Scotland doing what I need to do. But we both know, and even though there's been lots of ego and there still is some drama there going on, we know in our infinite wisdom, in our higher self wisdom, that we are always together, just like you are, Saul, with your beloved. You're still together, although physically you feel that you're not. On a soul energetic level, you are completely one with them, which means that you can still play out this mission together. For example, my partner and myself, we say to each other, even though we're not in the physical, we can invoke the guidance, the support of the other's higher self to come in any time that we feel that we need this. Perhaps to process energetically, or to let go of karmic ties, or anything that we feel that we need that extra boost, we can naturally bring in the higher self of our twin flame. And twin flames, at the end of the day, you are one soul. It's just he is a reflection of you and you're a reflection of him, and vice versa for your situation here, soul. What's coming to me is that there's not really past life karma here. What's coming forward is just the ego that's still there, the drama. And ego is very tricky. It can say to you, there's an issue here of past life karma, and if you solve this past life karma, lo and behold, you will magically get back together. But here I'm seeing, that that's not the issue. Because at any given point, so remember, the present moment is your moment of power, and which means that you have power over your past lives. You can get rid of karma, beliefs, ties, blocks at any given time in that moment. You don't have to, you know, feel that you're dragging a weight behind you, and the second you get rid of this weight, you'll get back together. I really don't see that happening. I see that these issues need to be in this present moment worked out before you can really feel clear enough to then come back together in the physical. The angels that I would say to help you to do this are Archangel Metatron and his divine flame, Constance. Now, Metatron, as well as helping you with past life karma, if you believe that you have, and your belief, of course, is a powerful thing. If you believe something to be true, then it will be true for you in some shape or form. So what you can do here is you can ask Archangel Metatron and Constance in quiet meditation to just clear the karma in all dimensions of time and space between you, your higher self, and the higher self of your beloved. And just to clear that space and then bring the clarity of what is this ego, where is this ego coming from you, from her, from both? And also bear in mind, soul, as well, that a lot of twin flames at the moment are taking a break from each other, and they're doing so to really fully express who they are and to become in balance with who they are, with their male and female aspect, to then be able to accept completely love from their other half. So hopefully that answers your question. The other angel that's coming forward to help you is Archangel Raziel. And Archangel Raziel helps you to see things clearly. So he will help you to see the situation clearly for you to know exactly what is the action steps to take, or what is the steps not to take, because sometimes we don't need to take action. Sometimes we just need to trust and surrender that if this relationship is meant to be in the physical, then it will be, but not to hang around and wait for that to happen, not to put your life on hold, to continue to realize that you're here for your own growth and expansion and to focus on yourself. And the more that you focus on yourself, if there's ego coming from you, that will naturally dissolve and you will create a natural loving space for your other half to come back into.
I would like to caution again, though, just to change your expectations. If you have an expectation that she's going to come back into your life and you're going to be together again, you'll be disappointed. It may happen, it may not happen, but your expectations need to be released completely to give both of you the freedom to be and do whoever you're going to be and do, and not expect something from someone else.
I would definitely second that, Jan. And also for Saul to remember that if she doesn't want to get back in the physical for whatever reason, just to be at peace with that and to let it go.
Right.
And to realize whatever divine plan that their higher selves contracted in together before they incarnated, that Saul can do it with her higher self, because if it's a divine mission, it will be on the spiritual planes that they will create, or they'll manifest, or they'll heal, whatever they need to do, so they don't have to be physically together. And what I would also say, Saul, before I finish, because it's advice I'm giving to myself here as well, is again not to put your life on hold. Remember that there is many, many different other halves. You don't have to be fixated on your twin flame all the time. There's many, many soulmates, many women in waiting, if you like, that are just waiting for you, that are perfect for you, that can share some beautiful life experiences with. So there is joy, there is freedom there with other people. So yeah, don't be too hung up on the one person. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Saul, for your question. Thank you, Callista. So we are going to start wrapping up here. And Callista, I would like you, if you would, please, to give everybody your contact information for yourself and also for the 12 Days of Love.
So people, if you would like to contact me or to do the 12 Days of Love, if you can come by facebook.com/ Callista Ascension. Then that is a community page where I write daily spirit messages, messages from the angels, but also there's a link there under the events for the 12 Days of Love. And you'll find a link there for my YouTube page, which is, the username is ethereal-like cat. And in that YouTube page, you will see a clip for every day of the 12 Days of Love. And you can
Wait a minute. Ethereal-like cat? As in dog and cat?
Yeah, it's a very strange one.
Okay. All right.
But they can see the full link to that, Jan, in my Facebook page. There's also networks for more advice, guidance for working with angels, and that's facebook.com/angelhealingTM. And if anyone is interested in working with crystals or ascension or Atlantis, twin flames, then there's another community page called facebook.com/Atlantean Crystal Healing. And these three pages are dedicated for you. So there's a team on each of these pages that are there to answer your questions. And we've all been there. We've all walked this path of ascension. We're still doing so. And by sharing your questions, we learn as well, because we're each other's teachers. There's no students and teacher, really. We're all learning from each other. So do come by and with your comments.
And Calista is going to be putting that or typing out that information, and either she or Cindy will be posting it on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page on Facebook. That's a group. Be sure you come and join us. That's Facebook. Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, and join the group and join the conversations before, during, and after the show. So I want to again invite you to either offer a donation, or you can sponsor the show, and you can get to name your own guest. We'll bring on a guest of your choice. If you decide to sponsor the show, you can contact me about it at jan@purposetalkradio.com. Looks like we have 6 new people during the show today. We want to welcome all of you and thank you for joining us. The other thing that I want to talk about is our next week show. We've got some banging going on in the background. Calista, would you mute yourself, please?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's your typing or what. Thank you. So next week, our show is going to be Adriana and Jan. The topic is spiritual codependency, learning discernment as critical to a healthy spiritual development. We touched on it a little bit today. We're going to go way more in depth with it next week. And we'll do some readings next week as well. I'm also bringing back. I was getting ready to present a teleseminar on lucid living or living. Yeah, lucid living, just before I got so sick. So that had to go on pause, and I'm about ready to introduce that again. I'll be giving you more information on that next week as well. It's going to be a course that I will be teaching, and Adriana may well be teaching it with me. So it's going to be kind of fun. It'll be a 4 or 6 week course, etc. We'll tell you more about that next week as well. It turns out, everyone, that we have another question. So we have a little bit of time. We'll take this question. Remember again that our website is purposetalkradio.com, that we have a Facebook page saying Purpose Talk Radio also on Facebook. We're going to have to let this question go until... put it back up. This is also from Saul, I believe. And what we're going to need to do is leave that on the Facebook in the conversations group, and Calista will bring it, bring the conversation back there. Okay?
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, wait. It's not from Saul. It's from somebody else. It's just very, very long. All right. Let's talk about it again. Let's give this comment. This is from Leanne. Leanne says, thank you for your comment about accepting that part of ourselves when we have negative moments, that it doesn't mean we're bad or that it's bad. I'm struggling with that right now. Having always had an easier time being in my head and aspiring to raise my vibration, seeking my truth, the physical realm has always been more of a challenge for me. So when I have a negative moment, and something reminds me, well, you're human, I feel myself cringing on the inside. I've since realized that the only way to reach the heights I aspire to transcend and live from requires me to focus on my physical being and heal my connection with Earth in order for me to embrace all that is in a balanced manner. That's excellent right there. Callista's 12 Days of Love is helping me to do that, though I can still feel I have work to do and will have to redo the first video as my resistance to being born was so strong. That's true for a lot of us, Leanne. In the meantime, everything I have been healing in my past physical life seems to be strengthening my connection with Earth as well and easing the resistance to being born. I have always focused on the upper chakras, but now as I awaken my Earth Star Chakra, I feel my roots finally literally taking root, and it's a new feeling, but it feels more whole, like I'm restoring a missing part of my being. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the words I am hearing on the radio. I just wanted to share the resonance I am feeling and the reminder to accept all aspects of myself. In conjunction with my comment before, what do I have to work on to enable myself to fully connect with others and potentially a romantic relationship? I sometimes feel it's just really meant to be for me, like my purpose is more important than a physical relationship. Yet at the same time, I feel I need this support to fulfill whatever the purpose is. I sometimes feel it's just really not meant to be for me. That's a correction. So the relationship, sometimes she feels, is not meant to be for me. Boy, I know how that one feels, Leanne. And I'm sure there are a lot of us. One of the biggest things that I've learned is it's very, very important to have an incredibly healthy relationship with yourself. If you don't have that, particularly as a female, you tend to lose yourself in a relationship. You lose all of the momentum that you've made and all of the progress that you've made. And there's something about us wanting to be subservient to a male figure or a partner, male or female, it doesn't matter, to a partner. So it's really important to have a secure and full relationship with yourself before you are willing to open yourself and accept a relationship with somebody else, a romantic relationship. As far as your chakra, Callista will know this. I'm not familiar with the Earth Star Chakra. What I am familiar with and what it sounds to me that you're doing some work with is where your roots are finally taking root is the base or the root chakra, which is the one at coccyx. It is the lowest chakra within the human body. And it is the one that deals with past life. It deals with birth. It deals with past life. It deals with survival. It deals with all of the things, with being born. It deals with all of this stuff. But it also is one that can take us into some pretty scary territory. So my recommendation anytime you are working with that chakra is to make sure that you are also working with a guide who has been there, who has done the work, and can help you. So if anything shows up that is going to cause you distress, you will have someone who can help you to get through it safely and not just one of these gurus who are self-proclaimed. I know Callista has done this work. Carla Goddard is another good resource for someone who has done this work. She's on Facebook. And I've done this work. There are quite a few people who actually make sure that you are willing to work with someone who has done the work and who has gone to these depths, who has gone through the trauma, who has gone through the scary parts, and will be there to help support you as you go through it, so that when your turn comes to help somebody else, you will also be solid on your foundation. Callista?
Wow, that is, you know what, that's quite a common, although that was quite a lengthy question, Leanne, I completely understand where you are, and there's been a lot of people who've been writing to me with kind of similar experiences to yourself, because every time we're doing the clip, as you know, we connect down to your Divine Mother and Father. And the reason that we do that is because, as I was saying before, the parents that we manifest, that we choose to incarnate with in this life, will always reflect the growth lessons that we need to reestablish or refine or expand our connection with our Divine Mother, the Earth, and Divine Father, the universe. So therefore, when we start to connect to these aspects, you can even use it, you can even see it as an archetype, if you like. When we start connecting to our Divine Mother, we start putting our roots down into her. We start to connect with her heart, and we realize that we are always supported and we're always held. And when you work with that Earth Star, which is an extension of your base chakra, and it is really like your anchoring cord between your physical reality and your spiritual reality. It's what anchors what many people call the light body to the Earth. And the more that you work with the Earth, you start realizing that you are loved. Because for me, I always say that life is a journey from love forgot to love remembered, and everything else is just our experience. And you are an ascension, you're on your ascension path, you're a seeker, Leanne. So therefore, you have chosen challenges and these lessons in your life to grow and expand and to reestablish this connection with your Divine Mother. And that's what you're doing right now. And it's so beautiful to hear your journey. And I just want to congratulate you with where you are. And really, the guidance that's coming from me is just to continue on the process that you're on, the journey you're on right now, and everything else will just naturally fall into place. I feel that connection up to your father and a reflection to your physical father perhaps may need a stronger connection, but again, that will come from just doing the videos again. And what else were you saying? You want the romantic partner. Well, what I would say, like Jan eloquently put, you really have to begin to love yourself. So you connected down with your mother, you connected up to your father. And in each clip, if you remember, we then bring you into your heart center, because your heart center is where you're most connected to the love of your being, to your true nature, which is spirit, which is source, which is angels, which is light. And when you connect more with your heart, you feel yourself, you experience yourself, you experience what love is. And you drop all judgments of thinking that you don't have love in your life, because you realize that you're love in each moment, and that doesn't have to be fulfilled in another partner or another physical person in your life. You can be in supreme love with yourself, just by being on your own, just by tapping into the energy of who you are. So I think, and I feel, that you just need to continue to do this, do the self-work, do the inner work, and by loving yourself and creating the space that you're doing every day, you're just going to naturally attract someone who is going to reflect the beautiful qualities of the love and the light who you are. So it will all come in time, Leanne.
It will. Okay, we do have one more comment. Cindy has said that she would like to comment. So, Cindy, you are now on the air. Hello, Cindy. Hello, Cindy. Okay, her Skype is not behaving well. So, we're going to have to put her back on hold, and she can share her story in the Facebook group. Okay, we are at the end of our show, and I would like to... Oh, wait a minute. Let's see what she says. Oh, she needs to unmute her mic. Did you unmute? Okay.
Running out of Skype. See, I did it right. Yep. I did it myself the whole time, and then I couldn't get back on.
Well, welcome to the show. So tell us what you have to say.
Hello. I just want to say, Jan, as you were sharing your story, I know I've talked a couple of times to you and to others on the conversations about how I'm going through this, okay, this spiritual journey with different energy work and recognition of what it means and trying to connect to life and spirituality and everything else. And when you were telling your story about the connection with your angels and being told that, you know, you had to do this and the argument and all that, which I understand that one well, I felt almost like somebody, I don't even explain it, somebody like jumped out of my chest or into my chest and went, yeah! And it was like this weird, and I know that's one of the chakras and one of the areas that I'm working on is, you know, is that heart chakra and understanding what all that means. And what you said from the very beginning of the show, combining the logical with the intuitive, because I am so logical, but yet so creative. So I am using both sides of the brain. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to share that, and I don't know if that was just totally confirmation for you or with your story or if it was also with myself.
I would say it was a big one for you, because when your heart jumps and says, yes, then you know that this is important for you. And you have been facing a lot of things that are new to you. A lot of this spiritual stuff and woo-woo stuff is really new to you. And I know that you're having some challenges with it. So this is a heart confirmation where your heart is saying, listen up. This is for you. Yes. Calista, what do you think?
I just have to first say that I love the woo-hoo.
Yeah, voodoo.
In Scotland, we call it the spooky stuff.
Yeah. Well, and it's woo-woo here, and it, yeah.
What I would say is, when you get that moment of pure, like your soul is just going, yes, to definitely take note of that. And sometimes we have no choice to take note of that because it's so overwhelming, like it was for you there, Cindy. So, yeah, just take that as a divine confirmation that I actually believe what's coming forward is that there's been a lot of information coming to you, a lot of nudges from your angels, and this could be through repetitive thoughts coming to you. To take a particular action step or to make a particular decision. And they're saying to me now, what's taking you so long? Sorry. They're saying, come on, Cindy, you can absolutely do it. And to follow that guidance that you've been receiving. And this was the perfect divine timing for you to be part of the show and to hear Jan's story. So take that again as another sign, another nudge that this action step is going to be completely supported. It's for your highest good, and that there's only going to be infinite blessings that's going to come to you through it.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah, and I've heard Jan's story before, and this was the first that reacted that strongly. No, we had a couple of us.
What took you so long?
Very good. Very good.
All right. Thank you very much, Cindy. And I hope all of you will join us again on the Facebook group, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, and carry a conversation from there. So we are going to close now, and I thank you all for being with us.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.